Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim Daf Nun Beis. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Nassim Bar Asya, who is from Eretz Yisrael, once traveled from the Rabbinical Academy to Pumadisa on the second day of Shavuos, thereby going beyond the Tchum, and Rav Yosef excommunicated him. When Abai suggested to Rav Yosef that he should have given Malkus Rav Nassim instead, Rav Yosef replied, Adiva Avdile, I gave him the more severe punishment. For in Eretz Yisrael, they vote to impose Malkus on the yeshiva student who sins under the Rabban, and they don't vote to excommunicate. Rashi explains that they try to avoid excommunicating a Talmud as much as possible out of concern for Kavodah Torah that the student represents. Since Malkus is a less severe punishment, the publicity generated is not so damaging to the Talmud's reputation and to the Torah's honor. Rav Yosef excommunicated Rav Nassim because violating the second day of Yantiv is a more serious offense, and the Gemara brings a different version of this episode. Point number two, the Mishnah Daf Nun Amud Beis stated that if one transports Peros Shviz, produce of the sabbatical year, Mamakmin Shakalu, Mamakmin Shalokalu, from a place where they've been depleted to a place where they have not been depleted, or vice versa, Chayav Levayer, one must take on the chumras of both places and is Chayav to do biur. Rav Yehuda says, Tse Bahavi Locha Af Ata, we say to him, go out and bring for yourself. The Gemara here attempts to clarify the Malchokes between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda with five different interpretations rejecting some. In the fourth interpretation, Rav Ashi says they're taking sides in the Malchokes and the Mishnah Shviz, which states, HaKovesh Shlosh Kvashim B'Chavis Achas, one who preserves three kinds of vegetables in one barrel. Rabbi Lezer says, Ochlin Ohar Rishon, we may eat all three until one is depleted in the fields. The marinating process renders the three species as one entity. Yeshua says, we may eat all three until the last species is depleted. Since the two species that have become depleted have the flavor of the third, they don't require removal. Rabbi Gamliel says, Kol Shekal Mino Min HaSadeh Yevara Mino Min HaChavis, as each species becomes depleted in the field, one shall remove that species from the barrel. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda holds a Rabbi Gamliel, and the Halacha goes according to Rabbi Gamliel. And point number three, the Gemara brings a Mishnah that teaches, Shalosh Aratzos Labir, there are three lands for purposes of Biur, Yehuda, Eber Yarden, and the Galil. And each one is divided into three sublands, mountains, lowlands, and valleys, they teach that people may each meet to produce in each one of the three mainlands until the last subdivision in the land has become exhausted of its produce. Now, Rav Chama Bar Ukva said in the name of Rav Yossi Bar Chanin that we learn this from the pasuk, "V'lehem techa v'lechay asher ba'artzecha," and it should be for your animals and for the chayos, the beasts that are in your lands. As long as the chaya can each meet to produce from the field, you shall feed it to the behem in your house. However, once the produce is depleted for the chaya in the field, you must remove it from the behemah in the house. Now, there's a tradition that a chaya in Yehuda does not live on produce that is in the Galil, and vice versa. Rashi explains that a chaya will not travel such a great distance from Yehuda to the Galil to forage, but it will travel between the various geographic areas of one land. So once again, the three points are number one. Rav Nassim Bar Asya, who was from Eretz Yisrael, once traveled from the Rabbinical Academy to Pumadisa on the second day of Shavuos, thereby going beyond the Tchum. Rav Yosef excommunicated him. When Abai suggested Rav Yosef, they should have given Malkus Rav Nassim instead. Rav Yosef replied, Adiva Avdile, I gave him the more severe punishment. For in Eretz Yisrael, they vote to impose Malkus on the yeshiva student who sins under the Rabban, and they don't vote to excommunicate. Now Rashi explains that they try to avoid excommunicating a Talmud as much as possible out of concern for coveted Torah that the student represents. Since Malkus is a less severe punishment, the publicity generated is not so damaging to the Talmud's reputation and to the Torah's honor. Rav Yosef excommunicated Rav Nassim because violating the second day of Yantiv is a more serious offense. The Gemara brings a different version of this episode. Point number two, the Mishnah Daf Nun Amud Beis states that if one transports Peros Shviz, produce of the sabbatical year, Mamakmin Shekalu Lamakmin Shelokalu, from a place where they have been depleted to a place where they have not been depleted, or vice versa, Chayav Levayer, one must take on the chumras of both places and is Chayav to do beer. Rav Yehuda says, Tse Bahavi Locha Af At, we say to him, go out and bring for yourself. The Gemara here attempts to clarify the Malchokes between the Tanakham and Rav Yehuda with five different interpretations, rejecting some. In the fourth interpretation, Rav Ashi says they're taking sides in the Malchokes and the Mishnah and Shviz, which states, HaKova Shlosha Kvashim B'Chavis Achas, one who preserves three kinds of vegetables in one barrel. Rav Elazar says, Ochlin Arishim, we may eat all three until one is depleted in the fields. The marinating process renders the three species as one entity. Rav Yeshua says we may eat all three until the last species is depleted. Since the two species that have become depleted have the flavor of the third, they don't require removal. Rav Gamliel says, Kol Shekal Mino Min HaSadeh Yevara Mino Min HaChavis, As each species becomes depleted in the field, one shall remove that species from the barrel. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yeshua, or Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Gamliel, and the Halacha goes according to Rabbi Gamliel. Point number three, the Gemara brings a Mishnah that teaches, Shal Shal Ratzel Zechel Beer. There are three lands for purposes of beer, Yehuda, Eber Yarden, and the Galil. And each one is divided into three sublands, mountains, lowlands, and valleys, to teach that people may eat Shemitah produce in each one of the three mainlands until the last subdivision in the land has become exhausted of its produce. Now, Rav Chama Be'ukva said in the name of Yossi Bar Chanina that we learn this from the Pasuk, V'lovahem techav l'chaya shibar atzecha, and it should be for your animals and for the beasts that are in your fields. As long as the chaya can eat Shemitah produce from the field, you shall feed it to the behemoth in your house. However, once the produce is depleted for the chaya in the field, you must remove it from the animal in the house. Now, there's a tradition that a chaya in Yehuda does not live on produce that is in the Galil, and vice versa. Rashi explains that a chai will not travel such a great distance from Yehuda to the Galil to forage, but it will travel between the various geographic areas of one land. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Nun Beis, and our standard simon is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. Someone's new to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, wearing the Please Don't Excommunicate Me t-shirt, tried to discern if he could eat one of the three pickled vegetables from the Shvi'is barrel by using his high-powered binoculars to see if the chai was in the Galil had depleted that species in the fields. Once again, in slow motion. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit wearing the Please Don't Excommunicate Me t-shirt, which reminds us, in Eretz Yisrael, they vote to impose malchus on a yeshiva student who sins under the Rabbanan, and they don't vote to excommunicate. Rush explains that they try to avoid excommunicating a Talmud as much as possible out of concern for Kavod HaTorah that the student represents. Since malchus is a less severe punishment, the publicity generated is not so damaging to the Talmud's reputation and the Torah's honor. Rav Yosef excommunicated Rav Nassim Bar Asi for traveling beyond the Tchum on the second day of Shavuos because violating the second day of Yontif is a more serious offense. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit wearing the Please Don't Excommunicate Me t-shirt tried to discern if he could eat one of the three pickled vegetables from the Shvi'is barrel, which reminds us that the Mishnah on Daf Nun Amud Beis state that if one transports Peros Shvi'is from a place where they have been depleted to a place where they have not been depleted, or vice versa, one must take on the chumras of both places and is chayav to do beer. Rav Yehuda says, Tseva hablilcha afata. We say to him, go out and bring for yourself. So the Gemara here attempts to clarify the malchus between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda with five different interpretations. Rav Ashi says they're taking sides in the malchus and Mishnah and Shvi'is, which states that a kobish loshim kvashim b'chavis achas, one who preserves three kinds of vegetables in one barrel. Rabbi Eliezer says, ochin al rishon, we may eat all three until one is depleted in the fields. Yeshua says we may eat all three until the last species is depleted. Rav Gamliel says, koshakal mino min asadi yevar mino min achavis. As each species becomes depleted in the field, one shall remove that species from the barrel. And the Tanakhama of our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rav Gamliel. And the Halacha goes according to Rav Gamliel. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit wearing the Please Don't Excommunicate Me t-shirt tried to discern if he could eat one of the three pickled vegetables from the Shvi'is barrel by using his high-powered binoculars to see if the chayos in the Galil had depleted that species in the fields. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a mission that teaches Shalosh HaRatzels LeBir. There are three lands for purposes of beer, Yehuda, Avery, Yard, and the Galil, and each one is divided into three sublands, mountains, lowlands, and valleys, to teach that people may eat Shemitah produce in each one of the three mainlands until the last subdivision in that land has become exhausted of its produce. Rav Chama Be'ukva said in the name of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina that we learn this from the Pasuk, V'lehem techa v'l'chaya shibar atzecha, and it should be for your animals and for the beasts that are in your lands. As long as the chaya can eat Shemitah produce from the field, you shall feed it to the behemoth in your house. However, once the produce is depleted for the chaya in the field, you must remove it from the animal in the house. And we have a tradition that the animals in Yehuda do not travel to the Galil to forage and vice versa, but they will travel between the three subdivisions within their main land. So once again, the newbie to Yiddishkeit wearing the Please Don't Excommunicate Me t-shirt tried to discern if he could eat one of the three pickled vegetables from the Shvi'is barrel by using his high-powered binoculars to see if the chayas in the Galil had depleted that species in the fields. All right, now it's time to go to our four-block back Chazara. Daf Memches. So the sim for Memches is Brainiacs. Brainiacs. So here goes. While some Brainiacs, that must mean we're on Daf Memches. While some Brainiacs were busy calculating the statistical probability that uninvited guests would arrive, which reminds us, the Rabbi Yezer who permits baking the loaves of Tamei dough on Pesach before being mafrish challah doesn't necessarily hold of hoyo, like Rabba, who holds that one is not chayav for baking on Yantif for chol because guests might arrive. Rapapa explains that in Rabbi Yezer's case, at the time of baking the loaves, each one is fit to be eaten by the baker himself. However, he might forbid baking on Yontif for weekday use, since it's not fit for himself since he's already finished his Yontif meals, and he doesn't apply hoil since he has not invited guests and has no reason to anticipate their arrival. So, while some brainiacs were busy calculating the statistical probability that uninvited guests would arrive, to eat their loaves of bread combined in a basket for our freshest challah, which reminds us, Rabbi Ezra says, Harodim enosim lasal, hasal masarfin lachallah. When one removes baked loaves from an oven and puts them in a basket, the basket combines them in regard to challah. Rabbi Yeshua says, tanu masarfin, the oven combines them even if they're not then put in a basket. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, kikro shel babu shel noshko zob and zob mitzarfos, Babylonian loaves which bite one another, which means that they stick to each other, so when pulled apart, a piece of one remains to the other, that they combine. So while some brainiacs were busy calculating the statistical probability that uninvited guests would arrive to eat their loaves of bread combined in a basket for Hafrasha's challah, others observed dough on a table and carefully mapped out the various crack formations, which reminds us, seer, which Rashi says is complete leavened dough, must be burned, but one who eats it is patur from karas and malkus. Siduk, which is dough that is past the seer stage and has cracks in it as a result of chimitz, must be burned, and one who eats it is chayv karas. Rav Yehuda says seer is dough that has developed cracks like karne chogavim, like the antennae of locusts, and siduk is where the cracks interlace with one another. The chachamim hold that any dough with cracks is siduk, and seer is any dough whose surface is turned pale, like the face of a person whose hair stands on end because of fright. Daf Memtes, so the Simmer Daf Memtes related to meat, and we use a butcher. So here goes. The brilliant butcher realized he forgot chametz at home while on his way to eat at his future father-in-law's house, which reminds him of the different halachas for one who leaves his house and forgot he had chametz at home. If he left to perform a mitzvah like to shek the carbon pesach or to eat a sudas erison at his father-in-law's house, if he has time to go back and do bir, he should, otherwise he should be mevat the bolibo. If he left to rescue Jews from a dangerous situation, he should just do a bittel, and if he went to establish his makom shvisa for an optional purpose, then he should return immediately and dispose of the chametz. So the brilliant butcher realized he forgot chametz at home while on his way to eat at his future father-in-law's house, had sold his entire butcher shop to marry a bas tam l'chacham, which reminds him was taught in a brayso, Olam yimkar adam kol mash yesh v'yisa bas tam l'chacham. A man should always be prepared to sell all he owns and marry the daughter of a tam l'chacham or marry off his daughter to a tam l'chacham. Mashal in ve'gefen be'in ve'gefen davar na'u miskabel. Such a marriage is analogous to the grapes of a vine with the grapes of another wine, where each grape improves the taste of the other. We have another brayso listing the preference for who one should marry if he can't find a bas tam l'chacham. So the brilliant butcher who realized he forgot chametz at home while on his way to eat at his future father-in-law's house, had sold his entire butcher shop to marry a bas tam l'chacham, leaving behind his former years as an am aretz who wanted to bite like a donkey. Which reminds of the great degree of sina that am aretz have for talmid chachamim, and of Rabbi Akiva's recollection that when he was an am aretz, he wanted to bite talmid chachamim like a donkey and break their bones. Daf nun, so the simmer daf nun is a nincompoop. A nincompoop, so here goes. The nincompoop, that must be more on daf nun. The nincompoop who practiced doing handstands to prepare for Olam Haba, which reminds us that when Yosef got sick and his soul left his body and saw an Olam Hafuch, an upside-down world where the Elyonim were Lamata v'Tachtonim Lamala, the ones who are uppermost in this world are below an Olam Haba, and the lowly in this world are above an Olam Haba, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, his father, said to his son, B'ni Olam Baru Re'isa, my son, you've seen a clear world. He then asked Rabbi Yosef how we, Talmid Chachamim, were regarded there, and Rabbi Yosef answered, just as we're regarded here, so we're regarded there. His father asked what they were saying there, and his son replied that he heard them saying, Ashrei mi shebalo kan b'talmudu b'yado. Fortunate is he who comes here and his learning is in his hand. So the nincompoop who practiced doing handstands to prepare for Olam Haba and hid pieces of paper with Hashem's name around the house, which reminds us that the Gemara asks what it means when the pasuk says, B'yom ahu Hashem achad v'shmo achad, that one day Hashem's name will be one. Isn't it one now? It means that whereas we write Hashem's name with the letters Yud, Hey, and so on, we pronounce the name with the letters Aleph, Dalet, but in the future it will be written and pronounced with the letters of Yud, Hey. This is alluded as well in the pasuk, Zez Shmi Lo'olam, Zez Zichri Lo'dor V'dor. This is my name which is Lo'olam forever, but means also La'alem to be hidden, referring to the Yud Kei name, whereas the one to mention is the Aleph, Dalet name. So the nincompoop practiced doing handstands to prepare for Olam Haba, and hid pieces of paper with Hashem's name around the house, said his own name whenever he learned and did mitzvahs. Which reminds us, the Gemara brought a contradiction between the two psukim, Kigadol ad shamayim chazdecho, for great until the heavens is your kindness, and Kigadol me'al shamayim chazdecho, for great above the heavens is your kindness. So does the reward from Hashem, which is referred by your kindness, originate from above the heavens or only until the heavens? So the great answer is, Kam ba'osin l'shma, kam ba'osin l'shlo l'shma. Here, in the second pasuk, is referring to those who perform a mitzvah for its own sake, for no purpose other than to fill Hashem's ratzon. They will receive reward from above the heavens, meaning supernaturally. In the first pasuk, refers to those who perform a mitzvah not for its own sake, but for personal gain. and they'll receive reward from until the heavens, meaning through natural means. And this statement is like Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Rolom Yasuk Adam B'Torah U'Mitzvahs Afa B'Shaloshma. Shemato Shaloshma B'Aloshma. A person should always engage in learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, even though not for its own sake. Because from doing them not for their own sake, he will eventually come to do them for their own sake. Daf Nunav. So the siman is related to Na. We think of beavers, and we use beaver pelt hats. So here goes. The Goofy Tour Group in their beaver pelt hats. Beaver pelt hats? That must mean we're on Daf Nunav. The Goofy Tour Group in the beaver pelt hats, who ate their stomach fat sandwiches while touring Bavel, which reminds us. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Bar Chana did not adhere to the minhag in Bavel not to eat from the fats covering the straight part of the stomach, since the Mishnah states that one should adhere to the chumras of the place one travels to. And two answers are given. Abai said the Mishnah's rule applies to people going from one place in Eretz Yisrael to another, or from one place in Bavel to another, or from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, but not to those traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, kevin da'an kaifin luhu avdin kavasai, since we, the Talmud Chachamim in Bavel, are subordinate to the Talmud Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, people coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel should act in accordance with the customs of Eretz Yisrael. Rabashi said the Mishnah's rule applies even to those coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, unless one intends to return to Eretz Yisrael, as Rabbi Bar Chana did. So the Goofy Tour Group in the beaver belt hats, who ate their stomach fat sandwiches while touring Bavel, were told to put them away because they had not seen a great authority do so. Which reminds us, Rabbi Bar Chana said to his son that he should not eat the permitted stomach fat of an animal, not in my presence and not out of my presence, for the following reason. I myself, who saw Rabbi Yochanan eating it in Eretz Yisrael, may do so here. Kedai hu Rabbi Yochanan lismoch lav, since Rabbi Yochanan is worthy of being relied upon, both in his presence and not in his presence. However, you did not see him eating it, so do not eat it, for I am not a sufficiently distinguished authority to rely upon to go against local custom. So the Goofy Tour Group in the beaver belt hats, who ate their stomach fat sandwiches while touring Bavel, were told to put them away because they had not seen a great authority do so. And they should not work Erev Pesach at home, even though the natives will call them lazy. Which reminds us that the Gemara asks that if someone is required to keep the chumras of the place from which he came as well, then in a situation where one comes from a place where the minhag is not to do malach Erev Pesach, and he arrives in a place where they do malacha, he's clearly deviating from the local custom and invites machlokas. So Abai answers that the requirement to maintain the chumras of both locales only applies in the case where he's coming from a place that one does malach to one that does not. Rava says the rule can apply to the former case, since when the locals see the newcomer not working, they'll assume that's because he's a batlan, someone who sits idle and doesn't work. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which depth do we have a 3-way machlokes regarding what one is allowed to eat in a barrel that is pickling 3 different vegetables, a pair of shvis? That's on daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 2. Which depth do we learn from the pasuk of Yomahu Yashem Achad Shmo Achad? In the future, we will pronounce the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name the way it is written. That's on daf Nun. Good. Number 3. What stuff did we learn about Rabbi Akiva recalling his hatred for Talmud Chachamim when he was in Amaretz, and that he had a desire to bite them like a donkey? That's on Daf Memtes. Good. Number 4. Which stuff did we learn there's a difference in Schar between those who learn and do mitzvahs Lishma and those that do not? That's on Daf Nun. Good. Number 5. Which stuff did we learn the Rabbi Baruch Hanna ate the fats covering the straight part of the stomach in Bavel because he relied on the fact that he saw Rabbi Yochanan eat them? That's on Daf None of. Good. Number 6. Which daf did we learn in Eretz Yisrael they tried to avoid giving a Talmud Nidui excommunication out of concern for the coveted Torah that the Talmud represents? That's on daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 7. Which daf did we learn the reason the Lechem Panim is baked Erev Yontif, Yontif is Erev Shabbos, is Shvus Krova Hitiru, Shvus Rechok Lo Hitiru? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 8. Which daf did we learn that those coming from a place where they do not do Malach Erev Pesach to a place that does, should not work, and the locals will just think they're batlanim? That's on daf Nunav. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we learn that one can feed the animals in the house from shvis until the chayos in the field have depleted that species? That's on daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 10. Which stuff did Rabbi Yosef tell his father, Rabbi Shubin Levi, that he saw an Om Hafuk where people were saying, Ashrei Mi Shebal Kan LaTalmudu B'Yadu? That's on daf Nun. Excellent. All right, now let's go to the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn that one should not sail less than 3 days before Shabbos, unless it's Letzorach Mitzvah? That's on daf Yotes and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that rain does not acquire a Makom Shvis in the clouds? That's on daf Memhei and Erevin. Good. And number 3. Which stuff do you learn that Chazal considered, including Parshas Balak, in Kriyashma? That's on daf Yud Beis and Brachas. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman. Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.